If you have a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. So good to see you today. We are starting a brand new series that we're calling Disconnected. Disconnected. John chapter 5. And in this series, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about something that's a really big issue for a lot of people, and a big issue for people who, especially with what's going on with the pandemic and us trying to survive that, this is an issue that so many people are dealing with, and that's the issue of loneliness. Loneliness. And it's really kind of strange because through technology, we have been more connected than just about anything, and yet even our online connections make us feel more alone and more isolated and more disconnected. And we are now called the loneliest generation. We're now the loneliest generation in history. And it's strange because not only are we the most connected generation through technology, but at the same time, we're now the loneliest generation in history. And if we're honest, more and more and more of us are experiencing feelings of being disconnected and experiencing loneliness. It's a devastating feeling. Not only is it a devastating feeling, but it's a devastating problem, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. I don't know if you've heard this before, but in the UK, the United Kingdom, they've actually just recently set up a minister of loneliness. They now have a government position that they have created in their government called a minister of loneliness to help battle this issue. And I don't want to bore you with a bunch of statistics because you can Google all of that, but just to give you an idea, 68% of people under the age of 50 experience loneliness on a regular basis. 500,000 people, 65 and older, will go 5 or 6 days this week and not speak or hear from anyone at all. 40% of the people in our culture are experiencing loneliness right now. And not only what are they telling us when it comes to this pandemic of loneliness, but along with that comes with these feelings of isolation and loneliness, it has major implications on our health. Not only does it contribute to depression and anxiety and thoughts of suicide, but loneliness can lead to high blood pressure. It can lead to obesity. It can lead to stroke and even death. The question that we're going to start answering today and over the next few weeks is, what do we do about this? What do we do when we are a part of a society that's more and more connected technologically, and yet we're more and more isolated than we've ever been? What do we do about the loneliness pandemic? What do we do about that? How do we handle that? Is there anything we can do? And where is God in all of this? What does He have to say about this? And does our faith play a role in that? That's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. Now, in the New Testament, John's Gospel, John chapter 5 is the incredible story of a man who feels like many people feel today, surrounded by all these people, and yet extremely lonely and disconnected. John chapter 5, you have your Bible there. If you have a smartphone, you can use that. You can use your YouVersion app, our church app. If you haven't downloaded that, you can download the church app. It's got a Bible portion there as well. And as you're looking at John chapter 5, let me just sort of set the context for you. When you come to John chapter 5, already in John's gospel, Jesus has been doing a lot. He is already into His ministry. It's full on. And you read the first four chapters, and He's been teaching people. He's been performing miracles. And what He's been doing is demonstrating the fact that He has a power that nobody else has and nobody has ever seen before. And so by the time we get to John chapter 5, believe it or not, Jesus is doing another miracle. And this is a guy who's extremely lonely. He's extremely disconnected. Here's how John tells the story, John chapter 5, verse 1. John says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. We don't know exactly which feast there was. The Jews had about three or four that they attended to on a regular basis. And every so often they would come together and they would descend on the city of Jerusalem. And scholars tell us that there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who would come into Jerusalem. Some estimate as high as a couple of million people who would come in to Jerusalem. And the reason I want to make such a big deal about that is because here is this guy who is all alone. He is completely disconnected, and yet he is surrounded by all of these people. John continues, verse 2, he says, "Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades." Archaeologists have recently discovered this pool. I have been there. And in this pool, it is exactly as the Bible describes it. It is this pool, and then there are these huge colonnades. Jesus is there, and he comes upon this scene. And then John records this for us, verse 3. He says, "Here a number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him living there and lying there, and he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time," we'll come back to that, but you'll notice, if you look carefully in the text, there is no verse 4. Why is there no verse 4? It just goes from 3 to 5. Well, the reason is because verse 4 wasn't in the original earlier text. And what happened is, over the years as Scripture was copied, the copyists felt like that they needed to explain why all of these people were lying around this pool. And so if you look in the notes section of your Bible, it actually gives verse 4, because there are some Greek texts that have it. And it basically says, "Paralyzed, they waited for the moving of the waters." And here was the belief system, it says. "From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters, and the first one into the pool after each stirring would be cured of whatever disease he had." And so that's why they're laying there. But what I want you to see is that verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, and the sentence just goes on. But what's so interesting is why Jesus noticed this one guy. Why did he see him? Why did he know about and want to know about this one guy's condition? And John even tells us that he is so interested in this guy that he is learning about what is going on. He is seeking information about this guy. It's like Jesus is there going, "Now, what is this guy's situation? What is his story? Tell me, what's the deal with this guy?" And we don't know how that happened exactly. We don't know if Jesus was with someone and they told him about him, or we don't know if, you know, Jesus was kind of taking a tour and guy was there talking about each individual person. We don't know how all of that was going. But what's interesting is, here is this one guy in this condition, and he catches Jesus' attention. Why is that? Well, I don't think it's necessarily because of the condition that he was in, because the Scripture tells us that were a lot of people in that condition. It was not the condition necessarily, or only because of his condition, but I think Jesus noticed him because of how long he had been in this condition. John tells us he had been in it for 38 years. I was 13 looking at trying to figure out how I was going to buy my next car when I was 13. That's 38 years ago for me. What was it like for you 38 years? Think about that. That is how long this guy had been in this condition. And we don't know how old he was. We don't know how long he had been laying around that pool. We don't know that. We don't know how, you know, a lot of don't know how old he was. Not a lot of people lived that long back then. We don't really know why this guy caught this one that caught Jesus' attention. But what we do know is that Jesus saw him, surrounded by all of these people, and Jesus notices him. He sees him when no one else would see him. Surrounded by all of these people, hundreds of thousands of people walking by him every single day. Maybe he just sort of blended into the background or into the scenery, but he was always there, and they just walked by him and they ignored him. But Jesus saw him, and Jesus noticed him. He begins a conversation with him. The last part of verse 6, Jesus asked him, "Well, do you want to get well?" We'll come back to that. Verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And so we know that no one cared about it, because that's what he said to Jesus. "The reason I can't get to the pool is because no one is there to help me." Again, they had this belief that when the water was stirred, that an angel was coming down, and if you could get there first, you could be healed. And he says, "I'm crawling, you know, on my elbows, trying to get to the water. For 38 years, I have not been able to get into the water first." I mean, think about how pitiful this man is. Think about how pitiful his situation is. He had been living there for who knows how long. He'd been an invalid for years and years and years. He would live only off of what people would give him, and his only hope is a false hope. Because even if it's true, even if that belief system back then, that the descending of the angels could bring healing into those waters, even if that was true, he couldn't get to the waters to heal himself. He couldn't get there. He was an invalid. No one was there to help him. He is powerless in his situation. And you know what? When you feel powerless about your situation, that'll make you feel lonely. When you feel like you can't do anything about your condition, you feel like you can't do anything about your situation, there's no way that you can fix it, there's no one you can count on, that'll make you feel alone. I mean, can you just imagine what it was like to be him? Some of you can, because some of you are there right now, or you've been there. And sure, it may not be a physical disease or a physical ailment that separates you from other people, but you know exactly what it feels like to be in a crowd and no one notices you. You know exactly what it feels like to be surrounded by people and no one even sees you. And I think what happens for a lot of us when we end up where we feel like we are alone and no one notices, we feel exactly like this man feels. We feel paralyzed. And we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to find someone. There's no one there to help us. And that's one of the things about loneliness. It just paralyzes us. It makes us feel helpless. And we just end up accepting the condition that we are in. And we don't do anything about it because we don't think we can. And then we start believing all of these lies, and they begin to swirl around us. Things like, things will always be this way. Things will never get better. Things will never change. No one will ever love me. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough friends. I don't have the power to do anything about my situation. I've messed up too badly. I'm never going to be noticed. I'm never going to be in a relationship. I'm never going to whatever it is. And we get in this vicious downward cycle that leaves us feeling more isolated and more alone and more disconnected. Some of you feel like this man in John chapter 5, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to stay that way. Because the amazing thing about what Jesus does is not only does he see him and take notice of him, but Jesus was willing to do something about the situation that he was in. Go back to the end of part of verse 6. Jesus asked him this strange question. He says to him, "Do you want to get well?" Why would Jesus ask that? It's like, well, duh. I mean, of course I want to get well. I'm not just sitting here just because I like to people watch. I mean, of course I want to get well. Jesus, why would you even ask me, do I want to get well? And I think the reason that Jesus asked this question, we'll look at it in just a second as to why, but I think it would be good for us to stop and ask ourselves the question, especially if we're in a situation where we're feeling alone. and disconnected and isolated and helpless and hopeless and don't feel like we can do anything about our situation, it's a good question for us to pause and ask, do we want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do I want to get well? And I think the reason that Jesus asked him this question is by asking him the question, do you want to get well? He's trying to change the guy's mindset. He's trying to change his thinking. He's trying to get the guy to believe that he can actually get well. He's trying to get the guy to believe that he doesn't have to be the victim of his circumstances anymore, that healing is available, that he doesn't have to stay in the condition that he's in. And I think the reason that Jesus asked him this question is because he wants this guy to believe that getting well begins by believing that you can get well. And that's where healing begins. That's when Jesus comes near. This man is helpless. This man is hopeless. No one was there to help him, and that's where some of us feel right now. But what I want you to see is that Jesus saw him, and when Jesus comes near, this man is no longer by himself. Jesus is with him. And he is no longer alone. And someone has noticed him. And now his story, I mean, we're reading about it 2,000 years later. Now his story is known by someone who is of ultimate significance, who is able to do for him what he could not do for himself and bring healing and wholeness to the condition that he's in. He says in verse 7, sir, I've been an invalid. The invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Check this out. Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. We don't know all of the details about how this man felt, about what Jesus said, or exactly how this healing happened. To me, the incredible thing is, after 38 years, the man picks up his mat and he walks. That is what's so amazing. And if this man would just believe that, he would be healed. If this man could just believe that he was no longer helpless, that there was someone who could do something about the situation he's in, then he's no longer paralyzed, he's no longer an invalid, he is now healed. See, if you're feeling lonely and disconnected and it seems like things won't get any better and you feel like you are all by yourself and no one seems to care and no one seems to be paying attention, even though you're surrounded by all of these people, can I just let you know that Jesus sees you? Jesus knows you. He knows your situation and he comes near, and you are not alone anymore. Because he sees you, he notices you, and he is the one who can do something about the situation that you're in. And if you will just believe that and believe that you're not alone anymore, and believe that you're not helpless, and believe that there is someone who loves you and sees you and knows you and is willing to do something about your situation, that is the beginning of your healing. And the reason I say beginning is because, unfortunately, it doesn't always happen immediately like it did in John chapter 5. Immediately, this guy picked up his mat, he walked, and he was healed. It doesn't happen that way for you and I, but it's the beginning. It's the beginning of believing that you can be healed and believing that no matter what, no matter how alone you may feel, how disconnected you may feel, it is believing that Jesus sees you and notices you and sees the situation that you are in and believing that. You know what that's called? It's called hope. And hope changes everything when you feel disconnected. If you're feeling lonely and disconnected today, well, I just want you to know Jesus sees you. He knows. He knows your situation. You must believe that.